value of life, quality of life, right to life. Three often used terms whose definitions, when you think about it, really depends on who's doing the defining. That definition is extremely important, especially when it concerns unborn babies. If you learn in advance through medical science that your baby will be born in total agony, only to live a brief amount of time, well, that's very different compared to being told that your child will look different and have some challenges in life on a day-to-day basis. Yet if I told you what the rate of abortions is concerning the latter versus the former, I'm confident it would sicken and anger you. Yet when parents-to-be learn that their unborn baby will be born with Down syndrome, their choice in a larger number than you probably imagine is abortion. The next guest is a family physician who can speak about this issue with the highest level of authority and expertise, not only as a medical professional, but also the mother of a child with Down syndrome. She is affiliated with Riverside Methodist Hospital and Ohio Health Grant Medical Center. Dr. Lindsay Arrocco, thank you for being here today, doctor.
Thank you for having me on.
And a website I want to give you, and we have it on our homepage too, it's for the National Down Syndrome Society. To find out more information, ndss.org. And like I said, we have that on our homepage as well. And I want to start with the basics, doctor, because I've noticed in background preparation for this segment, so many people can't even pronounce the affliction. They'll say Down's syndrome, the plural, where if you can't get the name right, how can understanding come about? That, for whatever reason, that seemed to bother me for some reason.
Yep, I think we're stuck in the past with this condition, and we need to be brought up to speed with good scientific evidence about what Down syndrome looks like today.
Well, I did see a report that a branch of a Senate committee, the Social Capital Project, did on Down syndrome recently. And you mentioned about getting up to date. In the past, you go back 30 years, give or take, life expectancy for a baby born with Down syndrome was not spectacular, to say the least. But if you look at the charts and the trends, it's as close to a normal lifespan as one would hope for all things being considered. What are some of the other trends? What are some of the other points of understanding that are missing with people when they look at the visual, whether it be through prenatal screening or if they see a child with Down syndrome? What are they missing by concentrating on the visual, not the heart and the soul of the person?
Absolutely. So like you mentioned, we've come leaps and bounds with life expectancy. In 1960, on average, a person with Down syndrome would live to be about 10 years old, and now it's 60 years old. So a lot of this probably has to do with addressing simple health conditions that we know go along with Down syndrome. One of the great things about this condition, being the most common chromosomal abnormality, is that we have the medical playbook. We know what to expect. We know these co-conditions, and we know how to treat them. When these children weren't living very long, we probably weren't correcting their heart defects. This is a simple, straightforward repair that can be done in nearly all heart conditions that affect Down syndrome. So in fact, our daughter Caroline, we knew when we were pregnant with her that she had one of these heart defects, AV canal defect, where she had a little hole between the top two chambers as well as the bottom two chambers. And this is a very straightforward surgery that she had done when she was about 15 months old, and she came through with flying colors. But I think kids were sent to be institutionalized many decades ago, and that's just not the case now. We're giving them a chance. We're bringing them home. We're integrating them with their peers. They're going to mainstream school, and they're getting lots of therapies. And they can lead very normal lives with going to school, getting married, living independently. Some of them are even modeling and running marathons. So the sky is the limit.
Yes, if you've ever attended a Special Olympics event, you'll be amazed by what many of these young adults are capable of doing, more than many of us are capable of doing on a athletic field when you think about that. And I mentioned
very true.
I mentioned, doctor, in the introduction, that the rate of abortion because of prenatal testing and non-invasive prenatal testing, I should say, is anywhere, depending on the survey you look at, 60 to 90% of children diagnosed with Down syndrome are aborted in the U.S. I'm not talking about China or some European country or an African country. I'm talking here in America. That compares to 18% of all pregnancies ending in abortion. So, I mean, I guess you could say that's one of the downsides of prenatal testing for Down syndrome, which it's the most accurate. But the upside is the fact that if Down syndrome is detected in the unborn baby, steps can be taken even before birth to make the early days, early months, early years of life a lot easier than being inattentive to everything and just finding out after the fact.
Absolutely. I think by having that knowledge ahead of time, you can plan for your delivery. So we met at our local children's hospital, a clinic called the Fetal Center, where we got to meet with a cardiologist, a geneticist, social workers. So we had a plan. So I think if your child, for example, had a heart defect that would cause symptoms for them right at birth, you would want to plan and know that you were having a baby where you had great care, a NICU, maybe a children's hospital nearby, that they could get the attention that they needed. But I think, you know, it's a double-edged sword. You're given your child's like lifetime of medical, potential medical problems, right? You've not even met this little one, and already you're thinking, what if she has this heart defect? What if she gets leukemia? What if she gets, you know, all these other conditions associated with Down syndrome? When if any of us knew that about any of our other kids, it would be frightening if we knew they would someday have diabetes or depression. We don't want to know all of that all at once. So it's tough to have this much information this early on.
But it's just, again, reinforcing the fact that parenting, the foundation for parenting is responsibility, and responsibility in a loving way. So for the parent who's listening right now who is wondering if my child is going to have Down syndrome, I mean, there are people who take things to such extremes where I don't want to have a child because they haven't even conceived yet, and they're thinking, I don't want to bring a Down syndrome child into the world. Talk about the kids you've been exposed to. I mean, are they happy? Are they alive? Are they alive versus just living?
Right, they are absolutely alive. I think everyone that Caroline encounters walks away with a happier disposition. She makes friends everywhere she goes. She's giving hugs. She's giving high fives. She leaves them with a smile on their face. And they've actually surveyed siblings of children with Down syndrome, and 88% said they are distinctly better people by having a loved one with Down syndrome. And if you survey the Down syndrome population, the majority of them are very happy with their lives. So there's so much joy there. And I think the world just needs more people with Down syndrome, because they really add so much to life. Caroline is just the joy of our family, and I can't imagine life without her.
Actually, not to contradict you, I think more people need to have time with children with Down syndrome. I mentioned the Special Olympics. Certainly that's active. We're here in New Jersey, but of course nationwide. That's a great step forward for you as a parent, a wannabe parent, someone who just wants to know about people in our world that matter. And for them to matter, you have to understand them, appreciate them, and love them as a parent, as a fellow person in what we call the human race. And I think what Dr. Rocco does by coming forward as a mother of a Down syndrome child, as well as a medical professional, she really helped you understand that open mind and listening to the person that we're with, not imagining or limiting the person that we're with. That's the steps that we have to take. And you want to find out more about Down syndrome, you can go to the website for the National Down Syndrome Society, ndss.org. Dr. Lindsay Rocco, you bring understanding to help people who deserve to be loved and appreciated and respected. And I thank you for doing that, for being here today.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me on.